Foundations of Western Civilization, Lecture 9. Plato, continued, and Aristotle.
Last time, we talked about Plato, about the Republic, about the forms, about the form of the good, and about how rationality, contemplating how it is that we know what we know, can, in Plato's view, lead us to a vision of the true, the good, and the beautiful, which will provide for us not only a model for right conduct, but satisfaction of our deepest human yearnings. In this lecture, we're going to begin by taking a look at the Platonic dialogue, which, though not quite as famous, perhaps, as the Republic, is, for my money, his best, his most artful, his most searching, his most graceful, and his most profound. And that's the Symposium. And after that, we'll take a look at Plato's great disciple, Aristotle, who is arguably, and I would argue, the greatest philosopher, the greatest pantomath, person who knows not just lots, but everything, who ever lived. But the Symposium first. The Symposium is on the face of a kind of an odd title for a philosophical treatise or a philosophical dialogue, because what a symposium is a drinking party. And Plato's Symposium is a depiction of a drinking party. As it happens, a drinking party in celebration of the victory of one of the tragedy writers whose works we don't have, a young man named Agathon, in the contest of 416. And Agathon, Socrates, Aristophanes, the great comic playwright, and others have gathered to commemorate the happy occasion of Agathon's victory. What was customary in instances like this is they would pick a topic of discussion, and they would go around in circles drinking from the giant crater or cup, and they would often get stinking, howling drunk. And generally, flute girls, as they were called, had been invited to the party. And flute girls were the second most expensive of the three levels of Athenian prostitutes. And they would play the flute, and later on they would provide entertainment of another spicier kind, and the party would be over. In this particular symposium, they decide to send the flute girls home. They're going to be talking mostly about love, and, as it happens, mostly, and perhaps surprisingly, about homosexual love, which, under limited conditions, was not only allowed, but seemingly celebrated in ancient Athens, those limited conditions being physical love between a middle-aged, upper-class man and a pubescent younger boy. And the love would ordinarily, under such circumstances, continue through adolescence until the beloved, the younger partner, grew up, at which point the relationship would transmute into just a generalized friendship. What they decide to do is each of the people at the dinner party in turn is going to speak in praise of love. Of the people who speak, we need concern ourselves really with only three of them here. Aristophanes, the comic dramatist, speaks and evokes a mythological picture of love that many readers still find evocative. And he claims that originally human beings were double. Each person was connected always in body with somebody else. Some people were connected with somebody of the same sex, some people with somebody of a different sex. The gods divided them, and we spend our lives looking for our other half. There is, he says, in a memorable phrase, a wound, an unsatisfiedness in human nature, which is only satisfied by finding that other person who perfectly complements us and with whom we, in a sense, melt in a kind of bliss. The vision of true love, which so many of us have sought or seek, owes something, clearly, to Aristophanes' vision.